Should Frank Lampard be sacked?
Did Bukayo Saka move to score?
Will Arsenal still get relegated?
Find out all of this and more on this episode of the Gully Scorecard. Welcome back to the podcast, guys. I'm in a very good mood. If you have been checking the stories of the Gully Scorecard Instagram page or even my personal stories, if you follow me, because of a certain result that happened this weekend. I'll give you some context first. Before I even let Nikhil speak, I'm going to give you context. Okay, so Nikhil and I meet like every week, and like this week, I didn't want to meet him that much because Arsenal were playing Chelsea, and I was like, oh, we're going to lose anyways and shit like that. But then I was like, you know what? I'll just genuinely, I don't care that much anymore. I might as well just go there, enjoy the game with him. And, you know, we'll just chill. Because, like, you know, friends like to chill. And I pull up at his place and we drop 3 goals on Chelsea's head while being 15th place in the table. Chat to me, Nikhil. Chat to me.
I told him if Arsenal beat us, you'd never see me again. In spite of being so bad throughout the season, I have no idea how they beat us. We were just so terrible. I had a feeling that a result like this would come. We were in bad form. Arsenal could take any excuse to, you know, get some points. They seem to take points against their biggest rivals. They beat United a few, like probably a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And they took 3 points from us when no one expected them to. So I don't know what to say.
In terms of form, I guess you also had lost games to like Wolves and Everton, but we were in fucking horrendous form, and I don't even know, like,
relegation form.
We had more red cards than goals at one point, which was just fucking astounding. But yeah, man, what a game. I mean, I didn't expect that result at all, and I was just laughing on his fucking couch the whole time. It was so funny. But yeah, man, it was a fucking crazy run. Anyways, let's get to the pre-match before all this happened. As we spoke about the form, Arsenal were terrible in a relegation battle of sorts. 15th in the table, we lost to fucking Burnley at home. Lost to fucking, I don't even know, man. So I lost to Everton, which is, I guess, it's a good team. We drew to Southampton, but general, just horrific form. And yeah, Nikhil, you want to talk about Chelsea's form?
Chelsea's form, not good either. We ever since we were, you know, ever since the group stage of the CL concluded, we haven't been, you know, up to, I guess we haven't played well in a lot of games. I guess we just played very poor teams. I guess Sevilla was the one exception. And I guess Leeds maybe. But we hadn't beaten a team in the top 10 for, you know, in that whole 17 run unbeaten, you know, thing. We just drew the big games and, you know, got 3 points against the smaller sides. And it was not good enough. We were pathetic against Everton. Wolves, we just broke down in the last 30 minutes. And against West Ham, I mean, West Ham just didn't take their chances. And, you know, we did. That was pretty much the end of it. We didn't necessarily play well. But it was nowhere close to Arsenal's form. I mean, they were absolutely fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it was to the point where I didn't watch an Arsenal game for like a month or so because I genuinely couldn't take it. Like, I tune in for like the last 5 minutes to see if any team is going to snatch a goal, and it was genuinely pointless to watch. It was just terrorist football for 90 minutes. We'll get to that later, but geez, our form was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think before the Chelsea game, the only game you had won in last 10 was against United, ironically. And the only games that you... And then you drew once against Southampton and once against Leeds, both with red cards. Other than that, you lost all 7. And I don't know. I guess in one way that's, you know, good for Arsenal because you kind of had nothing to lose against, you know, a team that was in relatively better form. But, man, the game was just...
It wasn't a 3-1 game, I'll say that much. It definitely wasn't a 3-1 game. It was It was much closer than that.
No. Arsenal were much better. We all ran through our midfield. Our fullbacks, I'd blame Frank Lampard for rushing them back. Even though I guess I did want them back, but if they were not fully fit, what's the point? I mean, James was terrible. Chilwell wasn't up to the mark. The less said about Timo Werner, the better. But yeah, we were not good enough. Let's get to the lineups, I guess. So let me read out the lineups. Do you want to read out the Arsenal lineup?
No, you can go for it if you have it up. I'd probably need to put it up.
Okay, so the Arsenal lineup was Bern Leno in goal. Hector Bellerin came back controversially. Kieran Tierney, Rob Holding, Pablo Mari, Bukayo Saka, Mohamed Elneny, Emil Smith Rowe, Granit Xhaka, Gabriel Martinelli, and Alexander Lacazette. Willock came on, Pepe came on, and Mustafi came on.
I was quite pleased with that lineup. Apart from the centre backs, because I don't know where the fuck Gabriel was, injured, or he wasn't even on the bench. But yeah, in general, I was pleased with that lineup, especially with the fact that Smith Rowe, Saka, and Martinelli were starting, because we lack creativity. And having young and, you know, exciting players who have a lot to offer, they have less pressure because the team isn't doing that well, so they can express themselves more. And that's what we saw with Emil Smith Rowe and Martinelli and Saka. Smith Rowe created 3 chances in the first half, which was the most of any player in the team. So that was very, very, I was very happy to see that. So yeah, that was our Arsenal lineup.
Yeah, I mean, if I were an Arsenal fan, the only thing I would question Hector Bellerin being there, and he was a captain. Mm. Pablo Mari hasn't played much anyways. I would have dropped Rob Holding. I don't think he's good enough. Kieran Tierney, he's always good. And Noah Aubameyang, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, he was just coming back from an injury. Like, as you said, your players were rushed off from injury. So I guess keeping him on the bench was a risky decision, but I guess it paid off in the end because we did win. But, you know, it was good. He gets some rest, you know, probably can play the next game whenever it is, because it's a very congested winter schedule as the Premier League always has. So any amount of rest for any player is very valuable.
Yeah, I think it was a bold decision, and which is also arguably something what a lot of Arsenal fans did want to see, was, you know, get youngsters on. Put the older ones, they weren't playing well at all. You know, give them a rest and get the young guys on. They might get you something. No Aubameyang, no Lacazette was dropped for a few weeks. There was no Willian, there was no David Luiz, there was no Danny Ceballos. You know, so yeah, credit where it's due. He, you know, changed the lineup. He got it right. Let's move on to the Chelsea lineup. Okay, so Mendy in goal, Thiago Silva, Kurt Zouma, standard back two that we normally play with, Chilwell and Reece James. When they're fit, they're the first choice, right? Fullbacks, but I guess they were rushed back, in my opinion. Kante, Kovacic, Mount in the midfield with Kante as a pivot. I was quite happy with that. Abraham, Pulisic, and Timo Werner. I was not a fan with Werner playing, but I was relatively happy with the lineup. I don't know where it went all wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as we'll get to Werner being completely fucking trash later, but I just think Werner has not gelled into this team at all. And like in this lineup, especially with players like Abraham in the middle and Abraham and Werner, just they're so, if you saw the way Chelsea played, it just felt like they I don't know if they were getting in each other's way or it was just that they just couldn't work in sync together, because they have worked in sync before. We've seen that. But today, it just didn't work at all. And I love the fact that Pulisic was playing, because he was by far your best player in the first half until Hudson-Odoi won. But yeah.
Yeah, I think Tammy scoring 2 against West Ham warranted a start, but I would have been fine with Giroud anyway. But I would have started Hudson-Odoi. I think Werner needed a break. And even though I'm speaking about this after the game and considering how bad he was, I would have still started Hudson-Odoi and maybe brought Werner on, you know, at, you know, on the 60th minute or 70th minute if we needed a goal or something. But he was just terrible. But let's move on to what happened in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, we were, the first, I guess, first 20 minutes, you had a lot of possession. It took us a while to find our feet in the game because of, you know, Mari playing his first game in ages and the youngsters adapting to the pace and tempo of, you know, in a high-octane game. But once that 20 minutes passed, we felt ourselves more in the game. We created more chances. Mitro had a huge chance in the first half, which he probably should have put away. But yeah, we kept knocking on the door. As you know, you didn't have a shot until the 80th minute. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely insane to me. I don't know how we didn't have a shot on goal till the 80th minute. That's just ridiculous. Yeah, so the first half, I mean, what do you think of the penalty?
I told you that that time itself it was a very soft penalty when I saw it first, because the thing was Reece James did tug his shoulder, but the main contact which the Michael Oliver had given the penalty for was Reece James' knee hitting Tierney's, I think, hamstring or his calf or whatever. But that was when Tierney was already going down. So in my eyes, that is a very soft penalty. And as I told you that day, if there wasn't a pen, VAR would not overturn it. That's why, since it was a pen, VAR didn't overturn it to not a pen. So it's like, that's like that, you know, 50-50 type of scenario. But I didn't think, if I was a ref, I wouldn't have given it the pen, but it was a very soft pen.
Looking back at it now, I would obviously say no, it wasn't a pen. But at the time, I was like, yeah, I mean, he clips his ankle. But then Anuj said, like, he's going down. That's not the reason he fell. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. He's not a penalty. So in hindsight, yeah, probably not a penalty. For some reason, all the daft refs turn up for Chelsea-Arsenal games. I'd rather not get on the Anthony Taylor, you know,
bandwagon. It was Michael Oliver, the man with hair, you know.
Anthony Taylor refereed the FA Cup final.
Yeah. Both of them which you lost, yeah.
Apart from that, even we deserved to go down at halftime, for sure. Like, we were absolutely abysmal. Nothing was going through Werner. There was no fluidity in our play. I mean, when we need a goal or something, just give it to someone that's direct. Give it to Kovacic. Give it to Mount. Let them play through the middle. I don't know why we just kept going down the wing, and, you know, Chilwell couldn't put a cross in for his life. Reece James looked off pace. Pulisic and Werner are more direct, so they're more counter-attacking, you know. We just tried to play to them and hope they would put in a cross for Tammy Abraham. And Tammy Abraham, as you know, cannot head for his life. As we speak, in the game, that's the Chelsea-Villa game, Chilwell put a cross in and Giroud heads it in. But Tammy Abraham cannot do that. It's just, he got the tactics completely wrong in the first half.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You all relied on your fullbacks a lot. And the fact that both of them were just coming back from injuries didn't help. Because, like, obviously, personally, they wouldn't want to get injured again, considering both of them are fighting for places in not only the Chelsea squad but in the England squad as well for the Euros. So that should have been one of Frank's, you know, priorities thinking, because, like, you know, these players are definitely not going to want to get injured again. So I might as well, you know, try going with veterans. And as you said, with the penalty again, Azpilicueta does not even touch Tierney in that situation, and we don't get a pen, and we don't even score from open play either. So that's one thing I think Lampard will learn with time. But yeah, that was a rookie error.
Yeah, James, I mean, he shouldn't have gone in for the tackle there. It was unnecessary, in my opinion. He, you know, if he had more maturity, he wouldn't have even gone in, because everyone and their mom knows that Tierney would have gone down at the slightest contact. And James gave him a reason to, even though it wasn't worthy contact or warranted penalty, he's going to go down at anything. And with the referees these days, they're going to give everything that they see. So, yeah, and then Chelsea were crap, but Xhaka's free kick. I hate the guy. Oof. But it was a belter.
I don't like him either, man. I don't like him either.
It was a banging free kick. You gotta give it to him, right? That was a crazy free kick.
You're giving it to him. Imagine how much difficulty I have giving it to him.
I mean, you don't like Xhaka, but he's an Arsenal player. I hate him. Kante gets a yellow card almost every game. He shouldn't have you know, gone that hard, you know, just at the edge of the box or slightly outside the edge of the box. But crazy free kick. There was nothing we could have do about that.
Yeah, it was a very good free kick. It was a very good free kick. And yeah, nothing you can do about that. But like, you know, that's just like the luck. You know, we got our luck today. And considering we have had so many red cards and so much shit go against us in the past few months, it was nice to have some rubber the green this side. So yeah, I mean, we'll take what we get, man. Banging free kick and yeah, great end to the half.
Yeah, I mean, going into the second half, I could not see a way we'd get back into the game. Like, normally I have, like, hope. Like, Arsenal would put pressure, put it back to Mendy or one of the fullbacks. They just boot it long and you'd win the second ball. There was nothing that I could see that would help us get back into the game. Fortunately for Chelsea, we brought substitutes on.
Yeah, I think your subs were very vital to the changing of the game. And in particular, as you said, Werner was horrible and getting Callum Hudson-Odoi on, who is a fucking class player, man. I don't know what Lampard, some weird ass agenda he has against him, but Callum Hudson-Odoi is a class player who definitely should be starting for this Chelsea team, especially when you have, you know, players like Mount and Pulisic and all who can link up with players like Callum Hudson-Odoi, which is so, like, as you saw, and like Tammy as well, Tammy's goal was assisted by Hudson-Odoi, who was electric since he came on. And those were very key subs to, you know, you eventually getting one back in the game.
Yeah, Callum was a live wire. Him and Pulisic were the only ones that could, you know, they were going at players. They were going past them. They actually put in a couple of decent crosses. So yeah, they were pretty much the only spark. I think Mount was decent. He was actually going and driving forward. But even second half, like, the only reason we could, you know, get at them because Arsenal sat back. There was, even though they had several chances, Smith Rowe had a chance. There were a couple of chances. I don't remember.
Mohamed Elneny, bro. Main man hit the
ball. Elneny had a few chances. Yeah. Even though Arsenal had a few chances, they still sat back. They didn't. I mean, the last thing they'd want to do now in this terrible run of form would be blow the lead, right? And they sat back. They, you know, did what they had to do, and that's the pretty much the only. I'm not discrediting what Callum Hudson-Odoi did, but that's pretty much the only reason we actually had a chance there going forward.
Yeah, and I just want to talk about the best goal of the game, Bukayo Saka. Which he clearly meant it, as he said himself and everyone around us has said, he definitely didn't mean to cross the ball in and miscued it with his weak foot and lobbed Edouard Mendy. No. He meant to shoot that because he saw us off his line. What do you think?
I mean, there is no way, there's nothing you could convince me to say that he meant that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I mean, Mendy should be covering that, let's be real. But yeah, I mean, what can I say about that third goal? There's nothing I can say that would.
It was just such a weird goal. Like, that whole phase of play was such fluid passing. And then that cross was like, oh, what the fuck is he doing? Oh, shit, that went in. What the fuck was that? It was just that instant change of emotion. I was like, holy fuck, we're 3-0 up.
You thought that was some crazy goal, no? But he tried crossing that.
No. See, what happened was when he made that cross, I was like, oh, fuck, this is, I mean, that's gone. Like, it's going to go, like, out of the pitch or something. And then it started dipping and hit the fucking sidebar and went in. I was like, oh fuck, that's actually a mad goal. And then, like, you know, once it hit that he meant to cross, I was like, okay, but it's still a fucking good goal.
It's a good goal, but yeah, I mean, I can't really speak. We lost to Arsenal. second half also slightly better, but that was only because of the substitutions. In my opinion, Frank got it completely wrong this time. He persists with Werner for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, you know, he paid a lot of money for these players. And I think he feels the need to prove himself in terms of him being a good, like, you know, justifying his prices, justifying the price tag as a manager. And that in turn, I think he's unknowingly putting more pressure on the players to perform by putting pressure on himself to show that he bought the right player. I guess that has something to do with it. And one more thing I want to talk about, like, You did have a chance to come back into the game. After 3-1, you did get a penalty.
Yeah.
Stepped up, Jorginho. And he missed it.
Jorginho, I like what one of the commentators said. If you guess the right way with Jorginho, you will save the penalty.
Right? Yeah.
Like a lot of the penalties that you do see, even though the keeper guesses the right way, it's just there's no chance of them saving it. But Jorginho's penalties, agreed that it's difficult to guess the way and with his whole skip and all in his jump, but he just tries and passes it. There's no conviction with when he hits the ball. He shouldn't be the penalty taker. I mean, do you know who should take the penalties? I genuinely don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like, I guess Werner, but he wasn't on the pitch and he's been hot. I mean, I guess if you got a penalty when he was on the pitch, he should have taken it to boost his confidence. But yeah, apart from that, I really don't know who should be a penalty taker, man. It's a very hard one. I mean, you had obviously Willian, who was very good, and he's not there anymore. And I'm glad he's not there for us either. Fucking idiot. Yeah, I don't know who should take penalty.
Mendy, bro.
Yeah, he's run from there and take a pen and he misses and runs all the way back to fucking keep.
Oh shit. I think maybe, I don't know, maybe Pulisic, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. That's not really his forte, you know, finishing, but overall, I couldn't believe that we lost to this bloody Arsenal team. It just didn't sit right with me.
It didn't sit right with me either that we beat you, to be honest. I feel like on form we didn't merit anything. On the day, of course, we merited the win, but it just felt wrong being 15th place and beating a Chelsea team which was tipped to win the title. But like, to be honest, I didn't tell you this earlier. I forgot to mention it honestly. I was thinking the other day, the last time we beat you scoring 3 goals, you won the title that season in 16-17. So you never know.
There's no way we win the title. I mean, we'll be lucky to get top 4.
I mean,
we're currently 1-1 with you drawing.
You thought the same
level with Aston Villa.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you were level with Aston Villa, but you thought the same thing in 16-17 when, like, you know, you lost to Liverpool and you lost to us back to back, and you're like, oh fuck, this season's fucked. And then you went on that insane.
But we lost to Liverpool and a good Arsenal. Oh wow, they nearly scored. We lost to a good Liverpool team and a good Arsenal team. Like, granted, Everton are good, Wolves are good. This Arsenal team is trash.
Yeah.
Like they've been on an. Now knowing this, knowing them, we're the ones that will, you know, let them come back into the top 10 or top 8 or whatever. it's crazy, man. It's just crazy. Apart from the game, as really, what do you have to say about Arsenal? I guess we can both, you know, speak about both each of our teams. You speak about your team and I'll speak about your team.
Yeah. So starting off with Arsenal, like, this season started off quite brightly, you know. After the United game when we won 1-0, I was quite optimistic because we'd played last season's top 3 already and we'd conceded the least number of goals, and you know, we had, you know, we'd shown like strides of, you know, defensive stability. Our creativity was not there yet, but we were somehow getting away with it, which was probably the only thing on the back of my mind. And then I guess I fucking jinxed it, because after that, it was the worst run of games I have ever seen as an Arsenal fan. I could not watch us play. It was just dreadful, dreadful football. And I'm going to put this, a lot of this, even though as much as I liked Arteta when he came, he got a lot of stuff wrong in terms of the players he played, the persisting with Willian for so long, persisting with David Luiz. I mean, David Luiz is the only good centre-back, but still persisting with Willian for so long, knowing that he's a fucking bona fide scrub who is so... like, that guy cannot do anything. He's 32 years old. He's come on a free transfer because of some fucking agent bullshit. And he's coming and stinking up the pitch every single week. And you still start him over players like Reese Nelson, who I know he's young and he's not got that much goals and assists, but please give him a fucking chance. Why are you starting this guy? It was so pissing off, and then we kept losing, and it was just a horrible run of forms. He kept getting the tactics wrong because we played teams like Burnley and he was playing a back five at home. Like, what the fuck is Allardyce? What the fuck is going on? It was disgusting football. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy we won. I'm happy that the two biggest results of our season were against United and Chelsea, but yeah, apart from that, fucking dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, every time the main problem I had with Arsenal is y'all weren't conceding like five and all, like y'all weren't conceding a lot of goals against, other than Villa. Y'all got pasted by Villa. They could have really scored five. But y'all weren't conceding a lot of goals. Like, yeah, y'all made defensive errors, and every bad team, team that's not informed does. But I could not for the life of me see you score a goal from open play. Like, even against Chelsea, like, yeah, you did have chances and Mendy made a few good saves, but two of your goals were from set pieces. And I mean, I don't know if you count penalty as a set piece.
I do.
But, of course. Right. Yeah, two of them were from a dead ball. And, you know, one of them was a scuffed shot. I'm not trying to discredit the way Arsenal played. Arsenal could have easily scored an open play goal against us, which wasn't, which was actually a good goal. But before the Chelsea game, I genuinely could not see you score an open play goal.
Yeah, it was tough, man. It was tough out here fucking praying for penalties every single game and hoping that our pen takers have the balls to fucking score, and then just praying that they don't fucking score from open play, and then realizing that we don't have the creativity, and then realizing we're paying someone £350,000 a week to sit at home while being one of the most creative players in the world. That is a rant I will get onto later, because that is some on another episode, because I'm very passionate about that Ozil and that whole situation.
I mean, if you don't know, Anuj's favorite player of all time, I guess, is Mesut Ozil. But yeah, I mean, the Ozil thing, I guess I could briefly touch upon it. If Arteta, I'm with the thing that, like, yeah, make bold decisions, right? If you don't want to play him, don't play him. But don't just make some blind, bold decisions like, oh, I'm making a bold decision here, I'm with the club. Like, yeah, it seemed absurd to not have him in the thing at all. Like, and you don't have a backup creative midfielder. You're relying on like Reece Nelson and, what's his name? Joe Willock and, these guys to create. And Danny Ceballos, yeah, sure, he was terrible this that run of games. He didn't even play against Chelsea. Yeah, I thought Arteta got it wrong. He also, I back you, he backed, players that he shouldn't have backed. Aubameyang's dry spell didn't help. Someone said without Aubameyang's goals, Arsenal would be in a relegation fight, and they were pretty accurate.
It's not surprising. He scored like six, I don't know the percentage, but like basically he was involved in like almost all of our goals last season, and all the big games, not big games, but like whenever we needed to score, he scored. And it's like people say, he's a flat track bully, but we lost to the flat track this pack of runs and he didn't score, which shows that players who score in these shit games are the ones who keep you alive so that you can eventually perform with enough confidence and enough momentum in those big games. Because if he's not scoring in the small games, who the fuck's going to score? And you're going to end up drawing and losing those games. So I do not believe in that flat track bully statement at all. And this is the reason why.
I mean, he's not a goal merchant. He does score in big games. Like, he scored twice against City in the FA Cup semi-final. He scored against us in the final. He scores in big games, unlike Lacazette.
I mean, I see Aubameyang does score in big games, but, it's very difficult with him because, like, he scored in that FA Cup final, semi-final, whatever. But in the Prem, in the biggest games, he's a shell of himself. Like, I remember 17-18 against, 18-19, sorry, against Brighton and Palace. He scored against Palace, but against Brighton, he was quite mid. And then again, the Europa League final, when we had a chance to secure Champions League football, again, he was quite mid. And then against Spurs, he missed the penalty in the last second, which could have, in the last minute, 18-19 again, which could have sealed top four. So he has those moments where he performs, but he has moments where he doesn't as well, like against Olympiacos as well last season, where he missed that. He scored a bicycle kick,
yeah,
Mr. Tappan. So it's just very frustrating with him. Of course, he's a world-class player and, you know, deserved his contract and, you know, we really need him. But he frustrates me quite a bit because I just feel like there are some moments where he should be stepping up as a club captain, which just isn't happening. But again, we can't be selfish because he's the reason we were even in any position to challenge for any silverware last season. But yeah, that's all I have to say about Aubameyang.
I knew it was kind of like a facade. Not a facade as much, but I knew he would get back to his goal-scoring form. Like, I knew he's too good of a player to, you know, have a season-long drought and then just become like, oh, he's shit. Like, no, he's too good of a player for, you know, he was just in a bad run. And genuinely, I believe, we can, you know, this is a good segue, but genuinely, I believe that's what Timo Werner is going through. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. He is, of course, we've seen him perform in the Bundesliga, like as we've seen Aubameyang as well. And it's just that it's a bad run of form. His first season in the Premier League, got to give him time. Of course, the memes and the trolls and the jokes is all, you know, I do it. Everyone does it. It's the fucking best thing to do. But on, you know, keeping it honest, you got to give him time. He's still a young player, still finding his way in the Premier League. It's not an easy league. Very physical compared to the fucking Bundesliga. So yeah, give him time. I think eventually he will turn out to be a good signing, but we definitely have to give him time.
Yeah, that's a good segue to talk about Chelsea and their flaws. My take on Chelsea, I don't think we're a 4-3-3 team. It just doesn't work. I don't think so. If you're going to play a 4-3-3, right, bring wingers and yes, Reece James and Chilwell can cross the ball very well. And they are very good fullbacks. But that's where, you know, Havertz and Werner are left as casualties. Because Havertz's best position is 100% a number 10. Can't play 8. He can't play as a right wing. He can't play as left winger. We thought he could use that versatility. We could see some versatility in him in the Bundesliga. But now, knowing that he's come to a harder league, a more physical league, he'd get bullied at in the wing. He doesn't have the strength. But Havertz, I think he can, you know, develop as a player if Frank plays him in that role. But unfortunately, we're not, you know, focusing the team or building the team around him. Werner, very much, you know, an attacking player. And I like what you said earlier about the, you know, comparison to Liverpool. Do you want to go?
Yeah. I mean, like, so you just before the podcast started, we were talking about how Liverpool, when you see the system they use, the Firmino gives so much space for players like Salah and Mane to operate, and they are the main goal scorers in their team. So and Werner is someone who can play in that left forward Mane sort of position. And if you get a player like Firmino in Liverpool system, obviously they have Giroud who can hold up the ball very well, but Giroud is aging and he's quite slow. So if you get that Firmino sort of player, you open up so much space for Werner and so much space for, you know, Callum Hudson-Odoi or Pulisic or even a Mount, for example, to, you know, drive through and, you know, take more shots. And you give even more opportunity for players like James and Chilwell to keep getting the crosses in. So that's one thing which I think Frank could either look to buy someone or look to coach someone to play that role, because I think that is probably where you could see the best of Chelsea in terms of the players they have at their disposal currently.
Do you think potentially Havertz could play that role? Or if you were to pick anyone at Chelsea, who do you think would play that false nine role?
I think right now the best player in terms of skill set is definitely Kai Havertz to play that role. But in terms of him being there yet, definitely not. He definitely needs a lot of, you know, maturity to get into his game in terms of, you know, picking the right passes and, you know, just game IQ in general needs to go up in him if he needs to eventually play that role. But as of now, he's probably the only player who can play that role in the Chelsea team.
Yeah, I don't think Frank is not good. I love Frank Lampard. He's probably the best player to ever play for Chelsea. But I don't think he has that, you know, tactical acumen yet to, you know, understand where. I mean, it's not like we know. It's not like we should be the managers of Chelsea.
No, bro, we're the best.
We know more than him. But yeah, I mean, I think that I didn't think of that actually. I think that's a very good system. But I would ideally play a 4-2-3-1. I know that makes Kante, you know, I know Kante as a single pivot is the best position for him. And I know he becomes slightly a casualty, but the current run of form we're on, we could lose to Villa here. Oh, shit. What a shot. Chilwell nearly scored. Oh, my God. You should go back and see this shot. It was an insane shot. But, yeah, coming back. Yeah, we need to change something. Like, the target man thing is just doesn't work, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think the target man thing is probably you're running it into the mud in terms of, you know, you're like overusing that system again and again. So teams figure out a way to counter it, you know, by either limiting your fullback some crossing or overloading the target man in the middle. So like, you know, doubling him down or stuff like that. So Frank Lampard, as you have mentioned, as you will mention later about his not having a plan B, that's been a very big issue as well. So I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, we just don't have a plan B. You know, the only thing that we do is we bring on like-for-like substitution. We don't change anything. It's either Tammy for Giroud or Werner for Pulisic or Havertz for Mount or Havertz for Kovacic or Jorginho for Kante. Like, it's like-for-like substitutions. You're not changing anything. You're just bringing on fresh legs. In games that you're nothing is working, you got to change the system. By the way, we just drew 1-1. This season's gone to shit.
Keep that in the fucking podcast. Keep it in. 1-1 to Villa. Bro, fuck my fantasy, yeah. But good result.
Yeah, fuck this fantasy shit, bro. Where the hell was I? Yeah, we don't have a plan B. I mean, my plan B, if you're so persistent with this 4-3-3, would be 4-2-3-1. You know, Werner up top, Ziyech when he's back on the right, Pulisic and Havertz in the 10. Maybe, you know, Mount can come on as a substitute. Or if Havertz isn't doing it, maybe Mount in that 10, Kovacic and Kante as, you know, the deeper players. What do you think should be our plan B?
I mean, yeah, I think first of all, Frank needs to figure out a plan B for different scenarios in according to which team he's playing. So when he plays a team which is like, say, like sitting back a bit more, then he probably needs to get more creativity in the midfield, you know, play passes through the lines. But he's playing a team which attacks more, he probably add more pace into the attack and play more of Tammy and Cho and Pulisic so you can counter faster. So
yeah,
those are some of the things he needs to change in his tactics.
Yeah, I don't think he's fully understood the qualities of each of the players yet. Like, I don't think he's got a system, you know. The reason he's carrying forward with this system is, you know, it's just worked. Like, we went on some bloody 13 game unbeaten streak or whatever. But yeah, we didn't play the best of teams. And like I'm seeing now, we just lost to we drew to a quality Villa side. And if we had won, we would have gone to third, even though Villa have a few games in hand and United have a game in hand. This week, United dropped points, Leicester dropped points, City won, Liverpool dropped points. Southampton didn't win. Who did Villa play? Oh, Villa won. Fine, whatever. I don't think Villa would be in the top four anyways. If we need to get to the top four, we need to be beating Arsenal. Like, we need to be beating a crap Arsenal team. That's the games you need to win. When other teams drop points, we need to win. We're one of the first teams that are playing this week. We've already dropped points. They're gonna increase the distance. United are gonna win. City will probably win. Liverpool will definitely win. I don't know about Spurs anymore. Spurs drop points. Yeah, they dropped points yesterday. But I don't know what's happening, man.
Yeah, Spurs are just Spurs. Like, they're just, you know, going through their patch where they used to get some draws, get some losses. And I think you drawing in the first day itself is going to give huge confidence boost to the teams playing after you, because, you know, they know that Chelsea have dropped points. So, you know, pressure on them to win, of course, but less pressure because they know that they have that, you know, oh, they drop points, so we can, you know, don't have so much.
Exactly. And that, you know, that logic should be applied to when we played you guys. We saw Liverpool drop points. Leicester Leicester and United drop points. Our players should be geared up to, you know, play a terrible Arsenal team, you know, that's not in any sense of good form. They should be geared up to get those 3 points. And we were at the Emirates where they have been atrocious. Yeah, we bottled it.
I'm just happy our goal difference went from -6 to -4. I'll take that.
Oh, man. Okay. So, where do you... Okay, let's... It's not really a prediction, but where do you see Chelsea and Arsenal finishing this season?
I see Chelsea getting probably that fourth spot in the table. Not getting fourth. I mean, I predicted them much higher, but I think after seeing what's happened this season, I think fourth is probably right for them. I think Arsenal can probably get maybe ninth, tenth, one of those positions if we pull up somehow. Something in the Jan transfer window, maybe some good signings. We've been linked to Tariq Lamptey and Ricky Puig and all that. So, I don't know. It all depends on a lot of stuff. It all depends on what Arteta does with the team. But I think if we can go enter games with the mindset that we did against Chelsea, we can play, you know, we can perform like we did against Chelsea. We should do that in more games. I don't know why he's not doing that and playing this stinky back five every time. But this lineup was actually good. And, you know, play this more often, get more results. I mean, seems quite simple, but, you know, who are we to say?
Yeah, I think ninth is probably where I think Arsenal will finish again. I think you're not finishing in Europe would be good for you guys. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. We do not need European football right now. Definitely need to, you know, I mean, of course it hampers us with the signings and all, but I'd still just fucking rebuild, man. Just take a fucking break. Just sort the shit out. We have a lot of deadwood in this team. And also one more thing I want to say, just before the end, my favorite substitution of the entire game was Arteta bringing on Mustafi for Lacazette. Oh my God, what a substitution, man. That
insane substitution.
Icing on the cake.
Mustafi finished the game with a win, bro.
With a clean sheet,
yeah. He's the GOAT. He was so bad against City.
We won't talk about that.
Okay. I think that's all we have to say. If you have any opinions on how the game went or how you think either of our teams would finish in the table or what we should change, let us know. Thank you for listening. You know, follow us on Do The General, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter at The Goalie Scorecard. Subscribe to our podcast for regular updates. You know, we try and post every Tuesday, but that hasn't been working.
We will. We recorded another episode as well. So we have 2 episodes right in our hands right now, ready to post for the new year's. So enjoy it.
Yeah, we have a Champions League one coming. We react to our... That was a more joyful one for me. I could actually speak about a team that I don't like dropping down. Chelsea did well.
I had nothing to talk about that episode because
you were a complete neutral there.
The Europa League, chilling, you know, farmers, you know, just chilling, bro, just chilling.
Okay. Anyway, subscribe so that you get notifications. Let us know if you have anything to say. And yeah, thank you for listening. We hope you had a great Christmas, by the way.
Oh, yes.
You know, Happy New Year. I think this will be the last one before the New Year. So, Happy New Year. Have a great holiday season.
Yes. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year from the Gully Scorecard. Enjoy. Don't get too drunk and only drink if you're legal. Good night.
Yes. Totally. Yes. Okay. See you guys.
Bye.